to check in with our man who joins us every week during this time on Thursday nights to give us the latest. You can catch him, of course, on the NBC Sports Philadelphia, where he will have pre- and post-game quick slants on Thursdays. That man is a Super Bowl champion and a good friend of mine, Barrett Brooks. B. Brooks, what's happening, man?
Man, how do you not know, man? The big box. That's the big box of Lucky Charms, bro.
So
the
is
big
it
box is always more.
Well, I mean, listen, man, I don't know. And
you know what it is though, what it is your kids are growing up, man.
That's
once
true.
Once they get to a certain point, man, they don't want, you know, cereal anymore, man. They're trying to hear that. They want eggs and bacon and grits and all that good stuff.
Yeah, bro. Well, they still like cereal, but I just don't know how I did not know that. So, you know, all right, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. You know what? Since you know everything, we're going to give you a question at the end of the call, all right? and don't be asking your wife either, because I know her too. No,
all
you're not
right,
doing that.
She's going to be right there. She knows her, bro.
All right, well, listen, man, one thing that we do know together is the Birds lost this weekend, 1-3-1. You know both of these teams very well, playing for the Eagles, playing for the Steelers, winning your Super Bowl title with the Steelers. But this team, man, the Birds went out there. They put 29 up on them. And Barrett, they really let one go. If you're able to put that many points up on the number one defense in the NFL, that was a missed opportunity.
You know, there's no question about that. And I've come to a realization, man, that at this point, there are contrasting styles that are being played in Philadelphia. You have a go for it, all out, you know, I want to go out there and press and be very aggressive style in the offensive coordinator slash head coach in Doug Peterson. But then you also have Schwartz, you know, I mean, I'm not going to say that he coaches soft. What I am going to say is he doesn't coach in an aggressive style. He believes that up front his four guys are better than your five guys that are blocking for your quarterback. So in turn, he thinks that, all right, these guys can rush the passer. That means I don't have to bring extra pressure. And when you're dealing with a team that's very, very aggressive on the offensive side of the ball, they're going to take chances. And in those chances, it kind of messes you up, because now there are times when you have interceptions with a quarterback that's not playing, you know, at the top of his game. And when you have those type of situations where the ball changes, now you're up against the wall because it's an interception, and you're on your 20 or your 30 yard line, and you have to stop them. That laissez-faire type of coaching, you know, so like just like with the last touchdown scored, you know, you just can't have that type of defense. In fact, when Ben Roethlisberger broke the huddle, he was expecting pressure from this Eagles team. He just knew they were going to try to get the ball out of his hands as fast as they can before they can get the 8 yards, because it was third and eight. He just knew that he was going to have to take a three-step drop, get the ball out of his hands, and hope his receivers go out there and make a play. Well, the opposite happened. He breaks the huddle. He sees it as a two-shell. That means two high safeties. That means they can't bring pressure. And he's looking like, okay, then, what's going on? And then he sees that Claiborne, I mean, he's sitting there by himself over a linebacker. Now, our best DB at the time was out. And let alone just having Claiborne against a linebacker who can't really cover at this point and has not been well-versed at this point. Now you put him in a messed up situation. And then to top that, your best safety, McLeod, he should know better from being a guy that, you know, that's been in the league a while, understanding that he just ripped us for four touchdowns. They called him back. Did you not think that he was going to go to number 11 and to not go over and kind of bracket him and bring, you know, safety over the top, but instead chose to go out there and help the DBs on the outside instead of helping the guy that's been ripping you all day? That's just coaching. That has nothing to do with anything other than coaching. Yes, it's bad to have Claiborne, a linebacker, on the best wide receiver on the team. But then to have him one-on-one against him, it's just a total, you know, it's a total travesty that they allowed this to happen. You know, the older player in McLeod, knowing he needs to get over and help a linebacker who can't cover him anyways, but then also the coach to call a cover two shell and not bring pressure on Ben Roethlisberger, who then checks to it. And not only did he check to it, he told Claiborne, hey, I'm coming to you. It's in the film. It's right there. The honest guy does not lie. He said, I'm coming to you. Mm-hmm. He pointed at him. He told him. Those are all things that can't be accepted. You saw it. Should have called a timeout knowing you had the wrong defense as the offensive coordinator. And, I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me from an X and O standpoint that I'm talking about this after the game, that's the play that beat you.
How was Chase Claypool, Barrett, able to get open so much on Sunday? You mentioned the four touchdowns, one rushing, and then the fifth one that was called back. How was he able to be so productive and get so open where things seemed so easy for him on Sunday?
Physicality. He was more physical than our DBs. And sometimes you get that. But you can game plan him. You understand that this guy is bringing something to the table that you can't counter as far as your athleticism and his offensive prowess, as far as understanding where he is and what his role is with Ben Roethlisberger. Big Ben knew that, and they game planned it, that this guy was going to be open a majority of the time because the Eagles have had problems against big receivers. And when I say receivers, it's not just wide receivers. I'm talking about tight ends also. Tight ends and wide receivers that are big have given the Eagles a lot of problems. And if I was going to game plan the Eagles, I would do the same thing. Next week is guaranteed that Hollywood Brown will be running crosser routes in the middle of the field, knowing that the DBs can't follow those guys over the middle on those crossing routes, on those quick hitches going to slam plays. They can't cover them because they're too far off the ball. When you're 6 yards off the ball, you can't stop the slam. And when you're too far off the ball, you can't cover the drags that's going across the field. So in turn, it puts you in an awkward position because the DB will always be trailing the wide receiver. And that's why our defense at this point is not being productive. Everybody knows this. I watch film. I'm watching the All-22, and it doesn't make sense to me that I see things happening and we're not adjusting to it. Also, we're crashing the defensive end. Now, this is a little nugget to our listeners. Watch every single play because you're going to get a lot of diversity as far as guys crossing the formation and on the opposite side of the ball and understanding that our defensive ends are going to crash and try to stop the run. They're going to run bootlegs. They're going to run reverses. They're going to run jet sweeps that counter that. Mm. And we don't stop doing it. You know, Seth Joyner, my co-host on the pre- and post-game live, he gets so irritated because he knows that the defensive ends are going to crash. And it puts them in an awkward position because now they can't redirect and stop those type of plays. And that's exactly what the Ravens do. So is the coaching that's really putting these guys in awkward positions, and they can't stop it. They'll stop the run play up the middle, but, you know, you got linebackers on the inside to do that. But the defensive end is supposed to stop guys from getting to the outside, keep contained, and they don't do it because they're not coached to do it. Chris Long said the same thing when he was, you know, when we retired. He said, hey, man, we were coached to do it. I know it hurt us, but that's what we had to do. And it's going to continue to hurt us. So as long as we keep doing the same old playing style that the Eagles have been doing, we're going to be hard-pressed to really go out there and make a difference on the defensive side of the ball.
Barrett Brooks joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Of course, B. Brooks on the pre- and post-game shows Sunday during Eagles games. Of course, switching a little bit to the offensive side, man, I have to ask you this. First of all, Carson Wentz, and we'll get to Travis Fulgham, so allow me to ask you that one, but Carson Wentz, man, over the last couple of weeks, it seems like he's starting to find a little bit of a stride, getting better each week with what we've seen. 29 points against this Pittsburgh Steelers defense that was number one in the league. They have Baltimore this upcoming weekend. How do you evaluate his last performance, and do you see an improvement from weeks 4 to week 5 with Carson Wentz's play?
Number one is fundamentals. When he's outside the pocket, he plays better. His fundamentals are better because he gets the ball, you know, he puts his feet underneath him and he delivers the ball when he's out on the island and out there playing and really being a gunslinger. Number two is trust. He saw, all right, then last week he saw that he trusted Fulgham to a play that he had, you know, recently at the beginning of the week. He said, look, if I get the same type of situation, I'm going to put it up there and I expect you to go get it. And that's exactly what he said. He told him, look, I'm coming to you on this play. and he let the ball rip before the guy was even open. And that's the difference between him throwing to other receivers. He waits until these other receivers get open before he throws it. You can't do that in the NFL. You got to throw time around in which you understand that your guys are going to compete for the ball and go get it. And he doesn't have that really comfort level with the other guys. He has it with Ward. He'll throw it to Ward, but he also has it with Ertz also. But he just won't pull the trigger on the other guys. And it puts you in an awkward position because now you're not throwing the ball on time. It gives the defense really a time to adjust on the ball he's about to throw. But before he understands, look, I'm going to let him use his 6'2" frame to go get it. And if you notice, those are all the positions that Alshon Jeffrey plays in. Mm-hmm. On the outside, when given the opportunity, I'm going to put the ball up. That trust factor that he has with them, it means a lot to him because now he feels comfortable in throwing it. As he gets more and more comfortable when he gets more comfortable with Ward, you'll see the ball coming out earlier, and you'll see the production of the offense go more and more. Now, I heard that DeJackson's coming back, and also heard
this
that Alshon is coming back this weekend.
Okay.
If that's the case, I still got to have Fulgham on the field, but you got to find a way in which you use his talent and put him in a position where he might be on the field with those guys on, too. So you might not run as much 12 personnel because you only have one of those guys with you anyway. You only have Zach Ertz. So you run 11 personnel. That's one tight end and one running back. That's better for him to throw to than now because he has that chemistry with Fulgham. You know he has chemistry with Zach Ertz. But now he has two guys, the speed factor with Deshaun, and you also have the comfort level with Alshon, understanding he has a huge catch radius. So I think the offense will be a little bit better. And I'm going to tell you the truth, man. I don't think, as an analyst, I could be truthful in saying, all right, the Eagles are going to win this game. But I think they'll compete, and that's all I can ask for them. Once they get past the Ravens, then the season will open up and get a little bit easier for them. They're going to Thursday night against the Giants. It'll open up a little bit. They can be more confident that they can go out and win. But at this point, I can't see them going against the Ravens team. And once they're a little pissed off because they didn't have the game and production that they wanted for the past couple of weeks. So they're going to be looking to score a lot. You got a former head coach that was a former Eagle, my guy, and they're going to have something to prove coming into this stadium. Now, you will have fans there, about 7,500.
Mm-hmm.
Not only, do you get a little hype because those fans are going to be ready to play, but you also understand the same thing make you laugh, make you cry. They're going to boo if the production is not the way it's supposed to be. And, they got to understand, maybe that gets them hyper. Maybe it puts them in a position where they're going to want to go out there and execute the offense better. But they got to understand this team is not to be played with. And they got to go out there and play.
Did you notice while you were at training camp, since many people could not be in there due to all of the restrictions now, did you notice Travis Fulgham? Did he stand out to you?
No question. Just the little drills that they were doing. See, in training camp, we were able to stay for more than just the warm-ups for them going in. Now, when the season started, now we can only be in there for warm-ups, and we can go in there when they're doing the little passing drills. But we were allowed to stay for a lot longer during training camp. And you really saw how this kid just went out there, and he was just comfortable with Carson. He was more comfortable than, and the physicality he brought to the table. You could see it. He just looked like he wanted to go get the ball. And the biggest difference, he's a hands catcher. He's not a body catcher. He wants to snatch it up off the air. And I saw that. First of all, I turned to my guy, and Dave, I was talking to Dave Sabanero. I was like, Dave, who is number 13? Who is this big kid right here? I don't know if he had 13 back then, but I'm like, who is this kid? And he really didn't know either who he was, but we saw something in him in practice. At the time, Burnett was trying to make it happen as far as being the other receiver, but he was outshadowed by this guy. And you could tell from the side, I'm like, wow, is that a tight end? No, that's a wide receiver. He was a big kid, ripped up, and he was ready to play, man. And I'm so glad that they took a chance and listened to, guys, from the defensive side of the ball saying, this guy's been doing this against us all week during practice. Give him an opportunity. And he showed that he can go out there and do it.
Well, that's great, man, because I like what I see. Barrett Brooks joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. And hopefully, as you just said, with the other two players coming back in Deshaun Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey, if they are, in fact, playing on Sunday against Baltimore, they have to still find a way to keep Travis Fulgham incorporated.
Oh,
in
he'll
the
be
offense.
On the field.
It's only going to make him better. If you the attention is going the way of Jeffrey and Jackson and Ward doing what he does, then Travis Fulgham should get his opportunities as well. Zach Ertz, what's going on with Zach Ertz, Barrett?
I think at this point, you know, he's still there to do the things he needs to do. But at this point, I don't think Carson is going to him as much as he should. Now, the interception, everybody's saying that, all right, the interception is his fault. It's not his fault. On that play is game plan. And then I keep telling people, you know, the head coach is calling good plays, good offensive plays. That play was meant to go to Sanders, the running back. It was like a natural pick that they run. He was running a little stop route or a comeback route right there to kind of pick Williams. If you're going to pick a linebacker, you know, that's the weakness of those four linebackers, Williams is the guy, the Florida State linebacker. Because you have Watt, you got Bud Dupree, you have, you know, Bush, another first rounder. He was the weak link. So they ran a play in which Zach Ertz was really supposed to sit there and pick him. So he ran a route that slowed down so he could pick Williams on the play, and that's exactly what he did. He understood what the play was designed to go to, and it was supposed to go to the outside to the running back. But Carson threw it to him like he was going to get the ball. See, that's Carson's fault. It's not Zach Ertz's fault. It's supposed to go to where the play is supposed to go to, and that's out there to the running back. But if you notice, early in the game, he threw it to the ground to Sanders on the same play. He had another opportunity to throw it to the same little, you know, out route to the wide receiver, and he threw it over his head. So I don't think Carson is really confident at throwing that little route to the wide receiver. If you notice on my social media, I put it up there too. He would have thrown it in the dirt, you know, earlier on in the season. But he started to get it going, and now he's starting to make it so, all right, I can throw it to him. Well, he didn't have the same confidence last week. Ended up being an interception. He didn't go to where the route was supposed to go. Now the defense in a quick change situation. They allowed him to score. I mean, you know, all that stuff compounds, you know, on why the Eagles didn't win the game. But it has a lot to do but guys not really executing, playing fundamental football. If they go back to that, they'll be good. But at this point, Zach Ertz, he's still playing good fundamental football. Mm. He understands the plays and where he's supposed to be at. Just a lot of times not getting executed. When you have 11 guys playing a concert, it's a great play. But right now, if you have 10 guys playing in concert and one guy isn't, if it's a wide receiver or if it's a running back or it's an offensive lineman, you can deal with that. But when it's a quarterback and he's making mistakes, you can't deal with that. You can't have that. You know, if 10 guys are in concert and if the quarterback is out of sync, the play is not going to be successful. But any other guy can do that, but not the quarterback position.
All right, man. Well, listen, Barrett Brooks, you can catch him again on Sunday pre and post game on NBC Sports Philadelphia. And on Thursdays before he joins us, he does quick slants as well. B. Brooks, great breakdown. Before you go, we got to give you one since you're smart. You know what about cereal. Tyler, go for it.
All right, so Devon, I gave you one earlier today, something that I really love. Now we're going to go to something that I absolutely cannot stand. We'll start with Barrett because he's our guest.
Yes.
Barrett, what is the price of a pound of tomatoes?
Ooh.
A pound of tomatoes. A pound of tomatoes right now is probably around about like $1.10, anywhere from $0.98 to $1.10. That's what it is.
Devon.
I know. All right, so I'm going to go with a pound $1.09.
Man, either you guys are getting tomatoes from a really good store or the store that I'm using right now is unbelievably expensive for tomatoes. This has it at $3.49 a pound.
Oh, neither of us know, Bear.
No, where are you getting it? You got to tell me the store because I'm not going to that store.
I'll tell you off the air. We'll keep you away from it.
There you go. Hey, B, thanks, man. Appreciate you participating in that too, man. That was fun.
All right, guys. I appreciate you. Thanks a lot.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.